grounds, but that really should be looked into, and I believe is. And anyway, what he was planning on doing is building a 125-foot roller coaster over there. And that's very, very close to you people in Seabright. So listen up, Seabright. You're going to hear a lot of noise. If you haven't had enough noise already and lights, you're going to get it from a 125-foot roller coaster. And if that's not enough, he also plans on putting a multi-story garage there. Originally, I heard that there were 2 7-story garages. Now, the city only says multi-story. So let's find out. Come on, city. Tell us, you know, how big are those going to be? Other things that I think is really ridiculous, they're talking about a trolley and a rail. Yes, we do need other ways of transportation, but let's work on the commuters first. Let's spend some money doing things for the residents and the commuters. The trolley and the rail is proposed by the city, and as I understand it, and this again is my view, is that it's only going to operate on the weekends. So you tell me, who does that benefit? If we've got a trolley and a rail that's subsidized by the city, originally, we were told the city was going to subsidize it all. Now they're saying, well, maybe some business owners will kick in. But these are questions you have to ask the city. And we really need your help. Originally, they were not going to vote until October 20th, but now we understand they're going to vote on September 17th. Why is our council members, Rockin, Kennedy, and Hernandez, why are they trying to rush us on this? We need you to vote for new councilmen that are coming up. But before that, we need you down there at those meetings. We need you to call City Hall and say, hey, let's look at this and give the public the whole truth. What is Seaside's interest in this? Are they also the development company that's going to be building some of these so-called affordable housing? Who's going to pay for all that? I mean, the development. I'm just concerned. And then I guess another question we had is, do those developments go out for bid? In reading the Real Estate Watch, there is an article there, and it says that Canfield is involved in every aspect. So let's find out more what that means. How much control does he have? I understand that it was his plan to begin with. That's fine if he's paying for it all, but you know, we just want the city to take care of its residents, all of us, not just one big developer or a couple of developers. And I guess the other thing is, I understand whoever came up with this idea is from the East or something, and I'm sure they're interested in earning their big-time salary, but we need people here. We need input. The city needs input from people that live here in the city, so that's why we need you people to call us, call the city, and help us with this. And one other thing I wanted to explain, the Beach Area Working Group, we're not against revitalizing the beach area. We want to revitalize it, but in a way that helps all of us, not just one particular part. We want to revitalize the whole city, not just the boardwalk. And we don't want to spend millions of dollars on the rail and trolley that just goes to the boardwalk. That's ridiculous.
So, for those who are interested in joining this dialogue, it's 427-3772 here at Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. I want to direct our guests to keep an eye on this little flasher, because when it goes lights like that, that means we got people calling in. So it looks like we actually have a call here. Let's see what we got.
Hi there. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi there. I just a comment on language, not language like foul words or anything like that, but language like revitalization. This city's great at media spins and puffy nuances for the terrible things that they do. Redevelopment, revitalization, cleaning up downtown. We need to change those words. We also need to change words like camping ban, because it's really a sleeping ban. Revitalization sounds like they're going to destroy the place to me.
Any particular questions, caller? Okay, that was...
was a comment from a caller, and thank you, caller, for that comment. Any response to that, Joe?
Sorry, I could not hear what was said.
What the caller said was, and we are a little primitive in our facilities here, I'll try and turn that up more. The problem is we have feedback that causes difficulty. He was saying he was concerned about the word revitalization, that sometimes what words, they say one thing, they mean another. Like, for example, we've had a lot of...
I understand, and I agree with him that you can take words and pick them to pieces and look for different meanings, and that's something a lot of people love to do.
Revitalization here, a code word for dumping the poor. I mean,
that's the way I see it. As this stands, a lot of people tend to lose places where they live, whether they're tenants or whether they're owners, in the interest of building up the commercial aspect of the area. I know a lot of people, I don't know a lot of people, here we are picking on words again. I'm sure that there are many people that live in the Beach Flats area that would like to stay right there. They, not only is it affordable for them, but it's, I think, a place that they enjoy living. And part of the idea here is to perhaps reconstitute would be a better word. Those areas that those people live in, to make them decent and, you know, wholesome places to live.
Are you saying that the Beach Flats is not a wholesome place to live because...
No. I mean some of the housing down there is in bad shape.
Are we talking about housing owned by Canfield, housing owned by others, or both?
I haven't any idea. All I know in walking through the area that there's a great deal of restoration work which could be done. We live in an old Victorian, and we really love it. And we've lived in new houses, lake houses, farmhouses, all kinds of places. But we really do enjoy this house, not only because it's historically a good home environment. Those houses always were, when they were built, they have high ceilings, they have high windows, they're airy, and there are a great many of those kinds of houses in that area. And perhaps some of that could be restored. Perhaps a lot more could be done in the direction of housing and something less in the direction of commercial enterprise.
Norma, any comments?
No, I was just kind of trying to go over some of my other notes that I hadn't mentioned and that are very important are the environmental concerns, like the water usage, the water need. Do we have enough water? There's been articles in the paper recently as about the water situation. It's really getting very critical. It's also the traffic. The traffic is quite critical. We do have to do some things about them, but again, let's keep the residents in mind and all of, and this, I'm not talking just even Santa Cruz, but all Santa Cruz County, and we need you people from the other counties. You know, you come here a lot. Give us your feedback too. You know, let our city know. Would you really drive over the hill, like if you're driving from Palo Alto or something and San Francisco to come to the boardwalk, are you really going to hop on one of our little trolleys and bring all your sand buckets and bathing suits and surfboards? And are you going to really pack them on our little trolley that's costing us millions of dollars to build or to get going? Are you going to pack them up and drive down to the beach in our, you know, you drive into town and unpack to go six blocks more?
Well, if the city council can pack this little plan on the trolley and zip it through before November, maybe they'll expect everybody else to do the same.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that you're going to want to continue coming to our area if we're that, so if you have to get on a trolley to get to our beach.
There is one thing I'm fairly certain of. You're not going to come from those areas looking for discount stores to shop in. If you're going to do that, you're going to do it in your own neighborhood. In places like Gilroy, other where they've already have these huge developments, and they're very successful in those locations. But like I said earlier, it doesn't belong on the beach. It's the wrong environment.
Yeah, again, on the housing, somewhere in some of the city's thing, they said when the people that they displaced will get first dibs on the housing. But the housing that we're going to build, will they really qualify? And of course, if they do, well, actually, if they know Canfield, he's really working it out pretty good. What he's even talked to some of his tenants that have talked to us, and the tenants actually will, he's taking his tenants, which he's already stacked his La Bahia with his workers, and so then as the city will relocate them, either giving them 42 months of payments of housing, and anyway, things like that, and so Canfield wins all the way around. He's okay, I'm going to let you take a call and I'll form my thoughts better.
Okay, Norma, thanks.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, hi. I wanted to talk about the proposed revenue that this plan would provide from the expanded boardwalk, which is one of the three reasons that this plan is being pitched. If revenue is so important, how come the Santa Cruz City Council... we used to have a tax on all the arcade games at the boardwalk, and within the past year, Santa Cruz City Council removed that tax and that revenue to the city. Could your guests comment on what sort of revenue the city would expect from this expansion?
Yes, we just received some information that was... Where is that other article? No, the other article.
I have it. 145 or 148.
Yeah, we have just received information today that states that the most that we can expect in tax revenue returns from this development in the year 2005, was it? 2000, in the year 2004, $148,000, $148,004, excuse me. And this is published information from the direct revenues that would accrue from the Third Street realignment, which is going to cost the city $3
million.
$3 to $4 million.
It seems a little disproportionate, doesn't it? Caller, any comments on that?
Since I'm not convinced that that this plan is going to help the Beach Flats residents upgrade their housing, I'm not convinced that the kind of jobs that will be created are the kind of jobs that are living wage jobs.
Yes.
The only thing that really seems to be a selling point for the city of Santa Cruz is that engine that the boardwalk does provide in providing revenue to the city. And I just have not been able to track down why it's worth it to us.
Yes, I understand. One of our concerns is the tax monies that are being considered to be spent, and of course the little we get back in return. I really don't understand the thinking that goes into this kind of, pardon me, thinking. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. And you mentioned earlier the amusement tax. There's no reason I see why Canfield companies should not be subject to the same taxes as all other businesses. And I don't know why he should get special treatment. I don't know what influence he exercises that he's able to do these things. I can understand in the original 1933 action there, that was the middle of a terrible depression. Property values just plummeted. There weren't any property values, and anybody that could come in and do something to generate revenue was very welcome. It was a terrible time. I lived through it as a little boy growing up, and most of my family people suffered greatly because of it. And I can understand the thinking then at that time that, well, let's just give up our rights on that land and let him develop some revenue for the city, and I think that was good thinking for that time. But this time, this time around, I don't really believe that that's a good way to go. I think, as other people have said, that let's do something down there that will do some good for everyone, not just the tourists that are clogging our streets on weekends.
Any final comments, caller?
Yeah, I had heard that, that Bill Tisling of the Democratic Management Service had been approached by the Beach Area Working Group and the Beach Flats Neighborhood Association to pin down on this cost-benefit analysis for the Third Street realignment.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told them that the projected revenue to the city would only be $88,000 per year from that Third Street realignment.
Yeah, those again are disturbing statements. You know, I wonder what the motivation here is. Is the motivation to improve our city, to make it better for the citizens? Is the motivation here to cater to big business interests? Or is it perhaps an ego trip for our good friend down on the boardwalk?
I also understand that the $3 million that is being projected for the Third Street realignment doesn't include a lot of the costs that, for instance, what it's going to cost to buy up the remaining property, that sort of thing, and that the actual price tag may be much higher than $3 million. Sandy Brown of the Campaign for Budget Fairness calculated that it would take over 40 years for the city to break even with this $88,000
a year. Well, we're right off. We're short $12,000 a year to begin with because we just gave away $100,000. You know, with removing that sales tax or vending machine tax,
mm-hmm.
that all the little small companies have to pay, I don't understand why we waived that for him, but we just lost $100,000 a year. So we're starting out $12,000 overdrawn to begin with.
Amazing.
But it's going to be very expensive because there's eminent domain cost, and we know of several people down there that don't be giving in so easy that they don't want to be moved. They don't want to be thrown out so that that the boardwalk can be expanded. So there's eminent domain cost. There's relocation cost. And again, where the city loses again, well, actually, I guess they pass it on to the state, because by putting them in some of the so-called affordable housing, the Section 8, like the one couple that moved out there that came out, it was in the city's thing, that where they're so happy with their new apartment, but they probably are, because the state's probably paying about 75% of it. Just for instance, for people that don't realize how bad it is, we bought our house 2 years ago down in Lower Ocean. The rent was $1,000 a month. The state paid $975 a month to us, and our tenant paid $25, and has been doing that for 10 years. So, I don't know, you know, we have to decide what's fair is fair, and I agree we need to have affordable housing, but maybe even on the state level, the people should pay, like, at least they're supposed to pay a third of their income, but if they tell them there's no income, apparently there's no follow-up.
I also heard that the boardwalk really does not pay very much in terms of property taxes. The land was bought so long ago at a much greatly reduced price, and it's not bought and sold. That's a very low revenue source currently.
Yeah, you know, that is something that I'll have to check on. I did check on properties owned by the Seaside Company, because there's been different you know, amounts on that. The parcels that I counted on last year's tax roll were 58 parcels. Now that does not include anything that he's bought up this year or any property that he holds in family members' names or other names. So he's got quite a lot down there, so I can see why he's doing it. I think he's a fantastic real estate, what you call creative financing, or not, you know, to get the city to pay for so much of the improvements. I mean, I could learn a lot by him, but I wouldn't do that to the city. It's almost like a rape.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that there must be some other benefit coming to somebody for anyone to propose this plan. It's certainly not the city of Santa Cruz. Thank you. I'm going to go.
Thank you. Well, maybe we better ask the city council. And I do want to say that Mayor Scott understands it more our way, and Catherine Byers also. And I'm not sure about these.
We kind of juxtapose back and forth between the mic and the phone here. Hope you can stay with us, listeners. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, as the studio heats up and our guests die of heat prostration here. I'm actually going to do a water break to give these folks a little something to drink. And we're going to listen to a little bit of music. And we're going to also, what we're going to listen to right now is an interview with Charlie of San Jose, Food Not Bombs, who has been covering the gentrification situation up there. But first, a little musical break.
Don't leave. gets ready for Christmas by sweeping the streets of the poor. Jesus would think it was something. Just make it illegal to have no place you can stay. If we just make it illegal to be disabled or poor, maybe we finally won't have to think about them anymore. This town gets ready for Christmas. Sweeping the streets of the poor, Jesus would think it was something. How people don't care anymore. This town gets ready for Christmas by sweeping the streets of the poor, Jesus would think it was something.
That was the Articulate Carol Denny from This Town Gets Ready for Christmas and her album Failure to Disperse. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. We have a caller, and caller, we're going to pick you up in a moment. I want to remind all the folks that the City Council in its august wisdom has decided to hold the September 15th City Council meeting on Tuesday. There are actually meetings almost every week. There's one coming up this Tuesday, then next Tuesday, which is the Beach Flats meeting. They'll be holding that City Council meeting in the ordinary City Council chambers, in spite of the hundreds of people who are expected to attend. It has been requested, and the mayor herself, Celia Scott, has requested the meeting be moved to the Civic Auditorium to no avail. Apparently, the majority wants to have this thing done quickly and quietly and with as little discussion and public attention as possible, which, of course, I think is disgraceful and typical of this City Council. And, of course, it's only too bad that activists are just now beginning to realize it. And hopefully, in the upcoming election, we'll vote in real council activists who are not the kind of talk-good, feel-good clones that the progressive faction often puts up, and then they bust out on us. Give a call to 427-3772. Caller, I know you were trying to call in, and I was kind of running over you with this message. If you call in again, I will pick up for you. You have to call shortly, though, because I want to give these people something to drink before I got the need to call the 911 services here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. So give a call back to 427-3772 if you want to talk on the Beach Flats issue or any other issue. What we're going to do now, barring such calls and until we hear you call in, or actually this is your chance, do it in the next minute if you're going to call in. We're going to have a bit of a recorded interview to give us all a chance to hose ourselves down, but indeed here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to take my answers off the air.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask your guests two questions.
Okay, two questions.
One question would be is, what's the possibilities, or what would you think of the idea of the city, you know, taking over the boardwalk, one, and running it in the public good, and number two is to take that boardwalk and make it into a much more healthier place for real families? That would be my two questions that I'd like to pose, and I'd like to hear some real discussion on that.
Okay, caller, we'll take your question off the air. If you want to follow up, do call in again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Did both of you hear that question?
I heard the first part, which was about making the city ownership of
boardwalk. I didn't hear the second part.
The second part was, could the city take it over? Or no, the first is, could the city take it over? The second was, how could it be made a more wholesome place for families?
Well,
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. Maybe I can answer that. I don't know how the city legally could do it, and I'm not sure that we should be in the playland business. We could ask Santa Clara, because as I understand it, Santa Clara bought out the park down there, which I forgot the name.
Great America?
Yeah. Santa Clara, the city of Santa Clara bought Great America because the other people were losing money, so we would need to check with something like that. But Canfield's not about to give anything like that. They've owned all that land for too long. I do feel that we can make it a healthier place. What I'd like to see is, I'd like to mention, see something like what they've done in Monterey that's been very successful, is their sports center. And that's sort of a smaller version of what we saw in Wales. And what we saw in Wales was really exciting. It was a whole block. It was a great big center, but it had something for everybody. They had the giant water slide that actually wrapped around the building. They had pools inside. They had spas with fountains that come up out of the ground. And they had just everything. Any type of, they had racquetball, tennis, pool, tables, swimming. Just any type of physical activity you could do. You paid $7 a day and you could go and stay all day. Now, something like that, I'd love to see at the boardwalk. Something that's going to be there for families that live here also, not just something for the tourists. And I'm hoping I know there's supposed to be the skateboard thing somewhere, and I haven't followed up on that, but if we're not doing that, we certainly do need a skateboard park. They're talking about a park, but it sounds like it's a picnic park that the city, well, we can picnic anywhere. We can picnic all over the beach. We can picnic on the grass, but to just put in a grassy area and call it a park is nothing. We need something that people can actually use.
Thanks, Norma. And Joe, any comments?
Oh, my only comment about the boardwalk ownership is that I may sound like a far-out liberal. Maybe I am.
A lefty socialist commie?
I'm not sure. But I tell you, I really am for business people because they support a lot of what we do as individuals. And we rely a lot on them for services and goods that we need in our lives. And I think that business wrongs being taken care of by business people. Santa Cruz is in the business of administering the city, and that's the business they should stay in. They should not get themselves involved in being a part of the business community. Now, I think perhaps it has worked out that the partnership idea does work well in some areas where the city partners with the developer, as in this case, it sounds to me like they're getting in bed together. But I don't know if you'd call that a partnership.
Sex is an American pastime,
right? Absolutely. I don't know if you'd call what you'd call what we're, what's
don't going stain on. That blue dress, please.
That's right. Be careful. Well, anyway, got me off track here.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to rally you here.
At any rate, there are certain partnership areas that are very good for everybody. In this case, it's my feeling that this partnership is not good for the city of Santa Cruz as it's structured. I think we need to take a look at it. I think we need to go a little slower. I know it's been 10, 12, maybe 20 years that people have been trying to do something in this area, and I understand too that I'm just a newcomer here. But nevertheless, my opinion is leave business to business people. And let's the city provide an ambience in the city for its citizens. For its residents.
Yeah, let me throw out again the number for the beach area working group, which I'm sure Norma has here immediately. She's scurrying desperately to find the number. Here we go. It's 458-3434 is the number for the beach area working group. 458-3434. And again, I believe the beach area working group meets every Monday night. Is it at 7?
Yes, Monday night at 7. And we have two, it meets Monday night at 7. And that's at an office in the Indian Joe's building. And then also, we have some real important meetings coming up here. Trying to find my flyer with the dates. Well, the big ones are the September 15th and the 17th. And again, we really need you because the city council is trying to rush this thing through before we have a new election and get some other people on the council. So they have moved, they're bumping it up from October 20th to September 17th for the final vote. So we need you to respond now. Respond with letters, calls, yelling, screaming, you know, stomp your foot. They've got to listen to the public. And so we need you to do that. Also, I wanted to mention to see our views Sunday, a week from today, November 13th, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at the Calvary Church on Cedar Street. And at that church, we will be explaining our position, and the full working group will be there then. And then also, we can document all of our things. I wanted to mention some other things that I was distressed at when I attended a council meeting. I was surprised at Mike Rotkin yelling disparaging remarks out into the audience. And there was I forget the gentleman's name, that from the Chamber of Commerce wrote a letter. And he talked about Phil Baer having incorrect information. Well, Phil Baer took the information from some of the city documents. I think the chamber needs to go back and talk with the mayor, because even the mayor said it was 225,000 feet. And so what's what?
Commercial space.
But then you add all the other different things that they're doing, and you're talking a larger amount. And our chamber... chamber representative, that he's saying anyway. He's a CEO, so he must be very important. But anyway, he's talking only about 125,000 feet. Well, Celia Scott just spoke to the Realtors Board here a week or so ago, and she said it was 225,000. So we got to get facts straight. I tend to believe Celia more than these other people. It's just that the city is not really giving us, the city council, I don't say all of them, because Mayor Scott and Catherine Beers are just wonderful, and they're very understanding about the whole situation. But the gentleman on there, they didn't act very gentlemanly at that particular meeting and yelling public things, and I was very disappointed to see our Chamber of Commerce making disparaging remarks in the paper.
Well, you're talking, of course, about Riot Act Rotkin, who I call the shadow mayor, because he leads the council majority in this redevelopment scam, as I like to term it, the Seaside Company giveaway. And he indeed is the real power behind the throne there. I mean, when he speaks, Matthews, Hernandez, Campbell, and who's the other one? Anyway, the other four all jump, you know, like trained poodles on this particular issue. Oh yeah, Scott Kennedy. Well, it's a pretty much like a done deal behind the scenes, it seems to me. But I think you're right in terms of getting people there with loud voices, willing to demonstrate their disapproval. And I've always said, and I've said this at the Beach Area Working Group meetings, which I remind you are Monday night at 7 o'clock at India Joe's building, if you want to check them out. And they're very. I've never seen a group of more articulate, intelligent. Committed people, at least not recently, in one room, except, of course, for myself, but that's another matter. You should check them out, but also give a call to the City Council hotline at 429-3550. That's the 24-hour message line, and tell them to please put their butts into the Civic Auditorium so that we all can hear and participate in this discussion without having to squat outside, or else... You know, there will be, shall we say, difficulties at the city council meeting. I suggest there are many nonviolent means of protest that can be used to stop a city council that is intent on ignoring the will of the voters and intent on ignoring good public process, even to the extent of moving up council meetings a month and refusing the public the right to attend that meeting at the Civic Auditorium. Again, the number to call the council and tell them to... please show a little, at least pro forma, respect for the democratic process is 429-3550. 429-3550 is the number for the 24-hour message line for the Santa Cruz City Council. 429-3550. And our number here, in case you feel we are just way on the wrong track, or possibly on the right track, but not right enough, is 427-3772. You're listening to Bathrop's Piers Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. My guests are Norma and Joe here in the studio, Beach Flats residents and professionals. Norma is a realtor and Joe is an architect. These are not wild, red flag waving socialist communist folks. This is not your usual anarchist drivel from Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is the bedrock of the middle class talking, and when even these people are being ignored by the corporate cronies at the city council, then you know that things are really heating up. At least that's my view. 427-3772 is our number here in at the beautiful, what are we? We're Free Radio Santa Cruz, that's correct. We also, of course, have, I've been asked to mention the three council candidates that almost every left organization in town, and probably some conservative ones too, judging from the kind of people we're getting in the studio. I don't think you guys are radicals in any way. Are you registered Republican, perhaps?
We're registered Democrats.
Registered Democrats and about to be great-grandparents.
All right. Well, watch out, everybody. And actually, the Democrats, in a certain way, have been more conservative than the Republicans in Santa Cruz because they have been the bedrock of the support for people like Scott Kennedy, Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews. They are the ones who've had the wool pulled over their eyes and who no doubt will be the ones that are asked to support Linda Steinau and Rod Quartararo and Jane Walton, who are the conservative candidates who favor this plan. However, let me mention the names of the candidates who don't favor this plan, who favor an alternate plan, and I'll ask you to talk a little bit about that, too. You began talking, Joe, about an alternate plan, and I mentioned that question at the beginning of the hour. Christopher Crone, Keith Sugar, and Tim Fitzmaurice are also running for city council, and not to mention Pat Clark, and all of these people oppose the beach flats, by a mile. They oppose the beach flats. They oppose the destruction of the beach flats through the beach flats redevelopment plan, which again is getting the freight train special, or the freight train, I guess we call it the express special, coming up at the city council. Again, the city council has a lot of meetings. It meets on Tuesday as its regular second and fourth meetings. A second and fourth Tuesday every month city council meets. That'll be day after tomorrow at 3:30 and at 7. I checked the agenda. Not much on the agenda there, but you can still come at 7 o'clock and speak out against these issues. I have also encouraged people to be aware they do not have to fit themselves into the city council agendas in order to protest.
Well, I just wanted to bring out the council does provide a time before they get into their agenda for people to stand up and speak for whatever is on their mind.
Right. 7 o'clock is oral communications, when you can speak for 3 minutes, and that usually allows 10 speakers at 3 minutes each, which I think is fine. I do it all the time, and it is televised on cable television. The problem is, it's once every 2 weeks. It's within the forum of the city council. You're limited by by their own rules and by their time constraints, and to some extent by their content constraints. They claim it's on the agenda. They'll stop you from talking. If they don't like what you're saying, on occasion they'll interrupt you. It's kind of a difficult forum to really effectively. I think it's good to come to. I think it's good to speak out on. But I have been encouraging people, for example, on this Labor Day weekend, I'd love to see tomorrow people at the beach boardwalk with large signs challenging tourists, giving out flyers, giving out the flyer you have here. You have a very nice flyer here, Norma. The beach area plan, yes, you can make a difference. This is a flyer that is geared to... you can't see it here, audience, but it's geared to, it's got some nice graphics on it. Talks about exercise your vote and your voice for Christopher Crone, Keith Sugar, Tim Fitzmaurice, city council candidates. Just say no to the city council on the beach plan as it is. And it's got the names of the groups, numbers, and the next times. Again, the big meeting is 9:15 and 9:17, 7 p.m. That's, again, the second. It's actually a special meeting on the beach flats by the city council week after this. But I think we need to have events that are essentially generated by public protest in the beach flats area, in the community, and we have to create our own media. I think we have to do it by being colorful, by being loud and outspoken, by being militant, by putting out the information where it's seen, not just at some city council meeting where we know they're going to ignore it.
We do have Susan and Fred are down by the bookshop, so if you're listening to this and we'll be walking down there, they're probably just setting up now and they'll be there till 3 o'clock, and they have more information, and you're welcome to go down and speak with them, and if possible, give us a donation just to help us print these flyers. We're doing this on limited budgets of just everybody pulling from their pockets to print up flyers and to do mailings. And yesterday we got in the mail from the other side, from the Beach Coalition, who is basically the business owners, and they've got a lot more money than we do, so they've got a 4 or 5 page glossy that does a lot of things, but it also gives some misinformation in that. And so anyway, stop down there and give us some donations at the bookshop in front of the bookshop.
and enjoy our wonderful downtown and the business people there and the ambiance.
Yes, but don't get caught by the host or the police sitting on the sidewalk or your history, man. Actually, I want to say that, yes, I favor, do go by the bookshop Santa Cruz and try to offer your assistance. You know, if you haven't got money, you can still offer your support to the Beach Area Working Group. And they're tabling in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz or near there, certainly not in front of the Georgiana's Cafe, because that will be illegal, thanks to Neil Coonerty's cafe law. But that's another story. Let me say this, though, that... yeah, if you also, I mean, I've been encouraging people to really don't, I mean, there was a protest planned for this weekend, I understand it, but then somebody advised somebody else that you don't have the appropriate permits. Well, you don't need a permit for a protest under 100 people. And people have got to be willing to recognize and use their own gut sense that if it's a First Amendment right to hold up a sign and distribute a flyer in a public place. Now, regardless of the whatever apprehensions you may have, I don't think they're going to arrest people around this issue. They're not going to anyway. It's a basic First Amendment right. And I would love to be supportive, and I am supportive. I'd love to see the Beach Area Working Group get their own radio show. I've encouraged them to do that. And hopefully they will be coming to the collective's next meeting to ask about that. I don't know. I encourage you to bring it up at the and there's, a Monday night meeting of the Beach Area Working Group at 7 o'clock at the India Joe's building. That's the building right across from the Java House on, Center Street. Yeah, right.
We can also just use your help helping us make phone calls. If we're not successful in getting this plan stopped now, there will be whatever we need to do, referendums or anything else that we might need, initiatives. And so we're going to need a lot of help. We need a lot of money for postage. We need a lot of willing bodies to get our message across that the beach area plan does not improve the beach area for you and I, the residents. It does for Canfield, the boardwalk.
You know, and also, I want to point out that this initiative or referendum on the plan, if the City Council insists on passing it, will only have 30 days to gather some 3,900 signatures of registered voters. It's going to be very difficult to do. I've encouraged the people, you know, it's going to need a lot of volunteers, of people registered to vote in the city circulating petitions. You also have an opportunity here to recall a council member at the same time. Seems to be an ideal opportunity to take one of these council members out, whether it's Matthews with her questionable campaign contributions last election that never got challenged and that ended up defeating Eleanor Eisenberg when Eisenberg stuff was spread all over the papers, but you didn't get to see that Matthews was engaging in similar behavior from actually the same funding source. It could be you might want to challenge Mike Rotkin, whose behavior in City Council kind of speaks for itself, or you might want to dump Hernandez, who's now engaging with Kennedy in a campaign to smear Phil Baer down the road, or was. I haven't heard him apologizing or retracting anything. You know, so I think a recall at this time, which by the way allows you a much longer period of time. I think you can spend the number of months getting signatures for a recall. If these councilmen are on notice that they're being recalled, then even if only two of these three, that the good three council members, Crone, Sugar, Fitzmaurice, or Clark, get elected, because they all favor stopping this Beach Area Flats plan and looking at it. Yeah, get rid of Rotkin and put in somebody else. Clark would definitely be a major improvement over Rotkin. After the other three, I know that the Beach Area Working Group has endorsed, as is the Green Party, Christopher Crone, Keith Sugar, and Tim Fitzmaurice. As has Scan endorsed it, right. So that's three. It looks like these three are being heavily endorsed, but again, the problem is you have Linda Steinau with huge amounts of Downtown Association money behind her. And it's really hard. She's the head of was the head of the Downtown Association, likes to posture as a friend of the poor and the homeless. She is not. I can tell you that as an individual who's been studying this for years and has been on the stick end of Linda Steinau. She's a nice woman. I mean, she's a good person, but a good person is not enough in a public office if you are beholden to other people and you have points of view that are, you know, deleterious to the health of the community. I was going to play another interview, but before I do, it's time for a musical break, because music is always more fun than listening to me blather, that's for sure. Although I won't say that of our guests, because I've been enjoying listening to them. And I guess we're going to have a little musical break, and then we'll kind of come back and sum up and hear here the alternate plan that these two propose for the beach flats that has been sought so avidly by Scott Kennedy, Michael Hernandez, Daryl Darling, and all the other Democratic hacks and flacks that are supporting this Canfield giveaway.
Take away everything and make everybody feel high.